You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. A new app is launching by developers at UW-Madison. It is called COVID-19 Wisconsin Connect, and it's designed to create discussions around the many different issues that people in our state are facing right now during the pandemic. What do you want to find out about the coronavirus but have been unable to track down? Are there stories or information you've been reading about the disease but don't quite believe? Where do you go for reliable sources? We're at 800-642-1234. Mike Wagner is a professor and Lewis A. Meyer Faculty Development Fellow in the UW-Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communication. Mike, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
It's my pleasure to be here.
So help us understand where the idea of this resource came from and what you're trying to accomplish here.
Well, it came from a group of about 30 of us on campus, faculty, staff, and students, and a partnership with the Wisconsin Partnership Program who helped fund our efforts. And so, you know, we went home for spring break in mid-March and we're told, you know, we're not coming back for face-to-face classes because of the upcoming pandemic. And at that time, we really thought, you know, things are going to get worse quickly and the COVID-19 virus isn't going to be going anywhere. It's going to stay with us for a long time. And so we started putting our heads together to think about what can we do to help the people of the state. And we brought together folks with expertise in, you know, the building of apps and websites to help with health communication. That's where CHESS, the Center for Health Enhancement System Studies, comes in. They have a tried and true long track record of doing great work in that area. Folks in the Department of Communication Arts to help moderate discussions online about this virus. And then folks in my department, the School of Journalism and Mass Communication, to think about fact-checking information about COVID-19 and also figuring out how to best get this information out to the people of the state. And so we just started talking. We never met in person. We've just had, you know, umpteen million Zoom meetings over the last month and a half trying to get all this stuff squared away, and have worked together to build the app and populate it with good information to do, you know, a bunch of different things to help people in Wisconsin navigate living with the pandemic.
One of the tools is these discussion boards that you have there, and they're moderated by experts. What types of conversations are going on?
It's really interesting. So CHESS has pioneered this kind of discussion board feature in the stuff that they've been doing to deal with addiction for a long time. And on the COVID-19 Wisconsin Connect website and the apps that will be available soon from the App Store and Google Play, what happens in the discussion rooms are talks about a few different kinds of topics. One is just kind of life in the pandemic. So people can share what they're going through and get support from other Wisconsinites about the struggles they're having. They can share victories they've had about something that worked well, you know, to help their kids or to make themselves feel a little better or a little calmer or something like that. There's another discussion room about testing and quarantining. And there's one about parenting and grandparenting. And so people can have conversations about really anything. And they can also just ask questions. And they can be answered either by other users of the website and app, or they can be answered by our moderators who, you know, have training in clinical psychology and other kinds of things to make sure that we're helping people navigate this as best as possible.
But discussions can happen day or night. How do you moderate when things are happening all the time and keeping this type of discussion in real time?
Yeah, it's not a real-time moderation. The moderators are working during the typical workday and will jump in as necessary. But really what's been happening is just organic discussions among Wisconsinites, and people are already starting to make connections. When you go and look at the discussion board, people are, you know, coming back again and again and checking on what happened with their posts and responding to other people's and sharing ideas about, you know, here's what I did to try to, you know, get through the day a little bit better with my family, or, you know, I'm trying to figure out how we think about going forward with testing. What do you know about that? And other people can jump in and explain what they've learned about questions people have related to just living in the pandemic, because it's a really stressful thing.
We're talking with Mike Wagner, who's a journalism professor at UW-Madison, who helped develop this app and website to combat misinformation about the pandemic and also to build community, bring people together around pressing questions around coronavirus pandemic. Join in with your questions. What kind of information have you wanted to find out about the pandemic? Tell us what you'd like to know. Are there stories or information you've read about the coronavirus but don't quite understand or believe? What have your family members talked about, and where do you go for reliable sources? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Mike, as I understand, the app isn't quite ready there to be downloaded, but there is a website.
Yep, the website is COVID19WisconsinConnect.org. So COVID19WisconsinConnect.org. The apps have been approved by the Google Play and App Store. They're just going through the final bureaucracy to become available to the people of the state or anyone, really. And that should be happening pretty soon.
And you brought different people together across the campus with different specialties, dozens of people. How is that working with people who have different pieces of trying to bring together resources? Because you're trying to do a lot of different things on this tool.
It's been great. It's been a real example, I think, of the Wisconsin idea. It's just that most, you know, faculty and students and staff on campus, you know, believe that what we should be doing with the things that we learn about how society works and why is to share that stuff beyond the walls of the university and with people of the state. And so we've been getting together, you know, since mid-March on this and trying to figure out how everybody's particular expertise could work together on this singular app and website. And so the folks in the Department of Engineering at CHESS have been, you know, great at building the architecture of the app and the website and knowing what kinds of things work really well in discussion rooms and just navigation. So part of, you know, what we're trying to do is target groups that are the most likely to have adverse effects of the COVID-19 virus. And so we know that one of those groups are our senior citizens. And so we want to make sure the app and the website are really easy to navigate and easy to learn how to use. And CHESS is great at that. We have marketing experts from my department to figure out how do we make public service announcements and advertisements so people know about this. And so we're very fortunate to have former Governor Tommy Thompson make a PSA for us. We have an African-American doctor who made an ad that we're targeting African-American communities with, the Spanish language speaking family to target Latino communities. We have print ads in Hmong language as well as Spanish and, of course, English. And so we've just used the different expertises that folks have to try to figure out how to put the health information in the app, where DHS at the state has been really helpful, of course, with that, how to spread that information, how to do the fact checking, and how to get those discussions up and going so people feel like they have someone to talk to. And then I guess the other feature that the app has is from Healthy Minds Innovations on campus, which provides a lot of tips about how to try to manage your anxiety and just stay calm during your living with the pandemic. And so there's a bunch of free meditation guides on the app as well.
We have UW-Madison journalism professor Mike Wagner telling us about a new app designed around discussions with health expert moderators. So what are the big looming questions you have about COVID-19 and how it affects your life? Where do you go for advice? Where do you go to have discussions about what you're learning about the virus and what sources do you trust? Be part of this at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a minute with Mike Wagner here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about a new online resource created at UW-Madison. It has discussion rooms to share support and information with people all over the state The new app is called COVID-19 Wisconsin Connect. Do you have questions about how to keep yourself and your family safe and well, or could you use some fact-checking on the information you've come across about the pandemic? Maybe you want tools on stress and coping right now. Join in with your circumstances. We're at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mike Wagner is a journalism professor at UW-Madison, and he's had a hand in this project. He stays with us. Mike, you were talking there about discussion boards. What works well in this environment? Because we've heard about chat rooms that have the potential for becoming toxic and for fueling misinformation.
That can happen, and that's one reason we have moderators checking in on the discussions during the workday. The only kind of discussion that we would try to stop or take down would be the sharing of things that we know are not true, thanks to the fact-checking work that's being done on the COVID-19 virus and being put together by people who are helping us on our team. And so otherwise, the discussions are really focused on how people are living with this and questions that they have about best practices, whether that's related to testing, understanding when they should call a doctor, understanding how they should engage in social distancing, and sharing their frustrations, because it is not easy to be living right now. Many people have been furloughed or lost their jobs. Kids are out of school. People are getting restless about all of those kinds of things, quite understandably. And so the discussion rooms are really a place where people can vent, they can share information, and they can get support from others, which is really important at this time, because many people are really isolated right now. Even with all of the technology we have, people are just more isolated than they usually are. And so being able to jump on COVID-19WisconsinConnect.org and just throw out there that you're not feeling, you know, as good as you normally do, and having people engage in some support and help you think about strategies to get through this can be a really useful thing.
We heard from Paul in Eau Claire, who sent an email asking, how do you prevent the experts, the moderators, from projecting their personal bias into the conversation and turning the app into an echo chamber or a bubble?
So the app isn't political. We you know, aren't interested in advocating a political point of view. What we're interested in is sharing what medical professionals have told us is true about the coronavirus, and sharing what research has demonstrated through, you know, empirical study and peer review to be effective strategies to deal with your anxiety, and have been effective strategies to deal with the virus more generally. And so it's not really an app that has anything to do with politics. You won't find us saying we think the safer at home order is good or bad or should continue or should end or anything like that. We're just talking about what sorts of things do people need to know about the virus, about symptoms, about when to get tested, about how to wash their hands effectively, about how to calm down, about strategies that might help them parent and navigate their lives you know, as best they can during this time. And so, you know, a real problem with anything that relates to health and science is when people get a whiff of politics in there. And so it's really important to us to not do that. We want folks to know this is for everybody in the state, from rural to urban, suburban, black and white and Hispanic and Asian and Native. You know, it's just for everybody. And our goal is not to advocate a political agenda, but to make sure people know the best information possible so they can make the best decisions they can about how to live their lives.
We're talking with Mike Wagner, journalism professor at UW-Madison, who collaborated with dozens of people on developing a new web tool and app. It's called COVID-19 Wisconsin Connect. You can join in with your questions. Are you spending more and more time on social media during the Stay Safer at Home order? What do you make of the information and the rumors that are circulating? Where do you go to get information? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Mike, let's look at some of the misinformation you're trying to dispel out there. How are you looking for misinformation online, and what is it like?
Oh gosh, there's so much misinformation online about the COVID virus. One study out of the Reuters Institute found that there's around 40,000 tweets a day that share something that's not true about the virus, and most of them are not fake news sites that are trying to kind of sow the seeds of misinformation. They're just people sharing things that they've heard that aren't true. So our process is a three-step process: monitor, select, and correct. So first, we monitor what's being said in the social media ecology in Wisconsin. So we're looking at Twitter, public-facing Facebook pages, those sorts of things, and find out what kinds of things are being shared about COVID-19. Then we compare what's being said to what credible fact-checking organizations have reported about the virus. And so we define a credible fact-checking organization as one that's been verified by the International Fact-Checking Network as a place that does nonpartisan, transparent fact-checking. We also look at what public health agencies, like the WHO's Mythbusters page, for example. So we know what's true based upon reports from those kinds of organizations. We see what's being shared that contradicts that. And if we find those claims, we think, okay, what's most relevant to Wisconsin residents that people here are saying that are their top concerns and that are big concerns to public health? And then we sift through that information, winnow it down, and provide fact checks on the app and website to push back against claims that aren't true and that are being discussed in Wisconsin. So it's really relevant for the residents of our
our
state.
Audience. Yeah. Do you have a sense at all, Mike, for how effective fact-checking tools like this are at actually combating misinformation, at actually changing knowledge, changing minds?
Yeah, fact-checking research shows it's a mixed bag, and some things work better than others. And in research that I've done with Janice Lee, a graduate student in our department, shows that, one thing that really matters is labeling a study a fact check. When people see that it's a fact check, they're more likely to remember the things that are true than if a news story just tells you what's true and doesn't label it a fact check. And second, it seems to be the most effective for people who don't know about the issue rather than people who've already been misinformed about an issue. And so when we craft fact checks, we do that with those kinds of factors in mind. How can we just present information rather than also trying, to share the wrong information, which sometimes can stick with you, right? So people listen to the radio or go to the web or watch television while they're doing other things. And so we want to make sure that the information is so clear that people don't get a mixed signal when they're trying to get that fact check.
Right. So you're not trying to muddy the information or put too much information in there that might be distracting to the very point, that crystal clear point you're trying to make.
Exactly. Simple, direct evidence. Because once you start mixing it with, well, President Trump said this or Governor Evers said that, then people's kind of partisan antenna come up. And so we're just concerned about the information and whether it's true, not who said it or why they might have said it. So simple and direct and evidence-based is our goal.
So getting back to the Wisconsin Connect app, do people need to register to use this resource, or how does that work?
So when you go to COVID-19WisconsinConnect.org, it asks for an email just so that it verifies you're a person, and then and not a bot or something like that. And then you can use the site, and when the app is available for download, you can use the app as much as you like. We do not collect personal information. We will never share or sell it with anybody. And so, the discussion posts, of course, most people choose a username that's not their own full name, although you could, I suppose, if you wanted to. But it's an anonymous discussion, so you are able to share your information without. Or share your questions, I guess, share your comments and questions and conversation without revealing who you are. So people's information is protected in a few different ways.
Do you have any idea when the app will be available for download?
It's really up to the App Store and Google
Okay.
Play.
Yeah.
We've gotten the high sign from them that they're going to release them. It's just a matter of them making it available through their own bureaucratic hoops at this point.
Mike, how do you see this resource evolving or adding to it? Where does it go from here?
Oh, great question. So, the virus isn't going to go anywhere, but lives are going to start changing, right? And so part of what we'll do is update the app with new information as the situation on the ground changes. So once people, you know, once social distancing relaxes, for example, we'll be up with new tips about how to navigate that kind of living as compared to, you know, what we're under now. And so as information on the ground changes, we'll be updating the app accordingly.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Mike Wagner is a professor and Lewis A. Meyer Faculty Development Fellow in the UW-Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communication. If you'd like to learn more about COVID-19 Wisconsin Connect, go to wpr.org/mornings. Coming up, we're joined by the administrator of the State Division of Motor Vehicles. Krista Boardman is here. We'll get details on some changes at the DMV due to the coronavirus pandemic. That's after this news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We want to express our sincere thanks for giving to Wisconsin Public Radio during our Giving Tuesday Now. Your generosity keeps us connected with essential news and these thoughtful conversations. If you missed Giving Tuesday Now, there's still time for your gift at WPR.org. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every single day. Thank you so much. Right now, we're talking about changes in the works at the DMV, the Department of Motor Vehicles. The State Transportation Department announced yesterday that teen drivers will not need to pass a behind-the-wheel test in order to get a driver's license. The new rule goes into effect Monday. It's one of the changes due to the pandemic. Do you have a teenager at home who hasn't been able to get their driver's license due to canceled DMV road tests? Do you have questions about how to renew your license during the pandemic? Let's talk about it. 800-642-1234. Krista Boardman is the administrator for the State Division of Motor Vehicles. Krista, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to talk about these topics.
Yeah, so explain for us, first of all, what is the situation at DMV offices, locations around the state? Are they partially open, mostly open? Because there are dozens, like 90 locations.
Correct. We have, about the end of March, we started dialing down some of the services. We took our vehicle-related transactions out of the offices because there are online mail and third-party options for those. So that took about 50% of our customers out of the lobbies. And then we started looking at critical services for driver licenses and ID cards, giving special emphasis to what people need to remain employed, especially with commercial driver licenses. So this week, we're finishing out this week, you need to have an appointment for service, and it needs to be what we're deemed an essential service. You're a first-time Wisconsin resident. You need to get your driver's license, your ID card, and, again, those commercial driver licenses. We're going to dial that back up a little bit beginning next week. We're going to allow teens into our office to take the knowledge test to get their instruction permit, and we're not going to require an appointment in advance, although we do encourage it. We do have social distancing protocols in place. We've been outfitting our offices with plexiglass shields and additional cleaning supplies. So we're keeping an eye on all the transactions. We do have a backlog, but we're figuring out the best way to get through this.
And where is the backlog in particular?
Well, we have extended about 80,000 driver licenses to give them additional time that you may have celebrated a birthday during this pandemic. So we've given like 60-day extensions at a time, and those are going to run out probably at the end of July because that will be 60 days from the end of the Safer at Home order. So, and another 10,000 driver licenses come due every single week. So with this significant backlog, we wanted to look at what we could do to provide additional options. So we are offering an online driver license renewal for people under the age of 65 who have not had any medical or vision changes that affect their ability to operate a vehicle safely. You can go online, you can pay your fee, you'll be instantly updated, you'll receive a receipt, which is good for driving, and then your card will come in the mail in about a week. And you get to stay 8 years young with your previous photo on file.
Ah, so they'll use the previous photo on file and just update your driver's license information. What about the real ID? Can you still get it that way online?
No, you cannot. So we want people to think about this and make the decision that's right for them. The real ID deadline has been extended. It is now October 1. 2021, but it does require an in-person visit. You need to come in with some documentation. We need to take care of that. So if you need that real ID, then the online option is not for you. But if you already have a real ID or you've determined that you really don't need one, the online alternative would be a great choice.
We're talking with Christina Boardman, the administrator for the State Division of Motor Vehicles. We're talking about how DMV services are being delivered during the COVID-19 pandemic. With your questions along the way here, 800-642-1234. Christina, let's look specifically at the road test for teen drivers. What is the situation there with getting rid of the behind-the-wheel test?
Well, we also have a backlog with that. We've canceled about 16,000 road tests since the beginning of March because we weren't able to offer those safely. We know there's a lot of impatient people out there, and we're not trying to circumvent safety. We just look at our options, and we know that there's many, many requirements that are in place for people under the age of 18, and that includes 30 hours of classroom driver's ed. They need to have behind the wheel with a certified instructor, and they need to spend at least 30 hours in the car with their parent or guardian to log additional practice as well. And once they're licensed, they're on what's called a graduated driver license or a GDL. There's additional restrictions that are placed on that in terms of hours of operation, who can be in the car with you. Of course, there's cell phone restrictions. So because of those requirements that are in place, we feel comfortable partnering with that parent. If they are comfortable knowing the 30 plus hours that they have spent in the car, then we will waive the 15-minute check ride with DMV. If they are not comfortable making that decision, it's business as usual, and you can schedule an appointment, and we will take care of that as soon as possible.
And those 15-minute check rides, you had a very high pass rate on those.
Yes, for people that take driver's ed, they're well prepared. And between the first and second time, we have a few that have stage fright that first time, but they're passing at 98%. People that are over the age of 18, they're only required to hold their permit for 7 days. They do not have to take driver's ed. And that shows in the pass rate. They're passing at about 68%. So again, we have lots of restrictions in place for those. And we, when you get that permit, which you must hold for at least 6 months, we are giving that parent some advice on how to work through those 6 months with their teen. There's a log in there to keep track of all the hours. We even have a mobile app that you can click start when you get in the car to make sure that you're accurate when you're accounting. And, you know, we know that that is a partnership, and we are relying on them if they are willing to certify under penalty of perjury that they've done all those hours and take responsibility, then we feel like their 30 hours means something, and we will accept their word for that.
Christina, we heard from Michael in Lake Geneva who couldn't stay with us. Michael's son has done the written portion of the driver's ed through the school, and the second portion is paid for but hasn't been completed since schools are closed now. What are the options? How do they proceed?
Well, we're not going to shortchange the requirements. So those schools, they will be coming back on board, and they will be offering the behind-the-wheel classes. And so we do feel like that is a critical part of the practice and the training. So we're not getting rid of that. That is still required. I do know that they've been delayed with the closure, but we are still working with our driver's ed partners to make sure that all of the requirements are being met.
Let's go to Jim now in Wapaka. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. What's your situation?
My daughter is now 15 and a half, and she's taking online courses, and she's just about done with that to get her learner's permit. But right now, I don't know of any way for her to actually get the learner's permit. Is there anything going to be in the works so that there's some way to maybe online, you know, take the written test so that we can start doing the driving portion of the learner's permit?
Absolutely. Thank you for your patience and your daughter's patience. Beginning Monday, she can go into her local DMV, including that one in Wapaka. She can take the knowledge test, and we will get her the permit.
Jim, thank you for, thanks for the question. Let's go to Robert now in Brookfield. Hi, Robert. Oh, Robert, are you with us? I hear the radio in the background.
Yes, I am.
Okay, hi.
Hi. Oh, am I on the air?
Yes, you are, yeah.
Okay, I'll be 73 in July, and my license needs to be renewed. And I understand that you have to be 65 or younger to be able to renew online. What do people do when they are older? I'd rather not have to come into the DMV, obviously, at my age.
Thank you for the question. I do understand your concern. We have extended the licenses during this period. We have found ways to really make that visit most efficient for people that need to come in. So you can complete your application online, you can submit it in advance, and you can book an appointment at your local office. We do have, as I indicated earlier, we have safety equipment in place. We have cleaning supplies, and we can, and we are exercising social distancing. So we will get you in and out of the office as soon as possible.
Robert, thank you for that call. John in Oneida, hi, what is your situation?
I'm from Texas.
Yeah, hi.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm from Texas, and my license expired on 2022, but to be a resident, to get even a room or rent a room or anything like that, I need to be a resident in here. And I'm 80 years old. I don't know what to do at this time.
So if you had a license in Texas, you can come into your local DMV and bring all of the documentation that's required. Please go to wisconsindmv.gov. You can see a list of what is required, including that residency information, and we can trade in that Texas driver's license for a Wisconsin one, assuming all other requirements are met.
John, thank you for the call. We have DMV Administrator Christina Boardman fielding your questions about how services are being handled during the pandemic. Have you used the DMV website in recent weeks? Could you handle your DMV business remotely? Do you anticipate a trip to the DMV and question whether you can do it without going in? Still time to talk. We're at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a minute with Christina Boardman here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The state DMV collects about $850 million a year through its services. There are more than 4 million drivers and nearly 6 million registered vehicles in our state. We're learning about how the pandemic is affecting services with your questions for DMV Administrator Christina Boardman, who stays with us. We heard from Ruth, called in from West Allis, couldn't stay with us. Christina wants to know, when will the emissions testing for renewal of automobile testing, when will that be resumed, since that was also put on hold due to the pandemic?
Sure. What we did was we worked with the DNR to extend that so that people could go ahead online and renew their registration, even though they required an emissions test. So once all of those emissions testers are out and available and doing those tests, then we will make sure that people are getting their cars checked again. But yes, that is currently on hold during this period of time. and people can renew as usual online.
Let's bring in another call, Jocelyn in Madison. Hi, Jocelyn.
Hi. So I was just saying, my son got his license a few months before the whole pandemic started, and I still fear, I know he's a good driver, but I still fear for my life when I'm in the car with him. And when I would have to go to high school to drop him off and, like, see all the teenage drivers, I know I'm not the only parent who's scared. Is anyone else concerned about a bunch of teenagers maybe getting their licenses without the road test? I can't be the only one.
Jocelyn, thank you so much for that question. Christina, how risky is this?
Again, as a parent, because she is spending so much time in the car, if she is not comfortable waiving that road test, then we don't want to put her as a parent in that position. So we are happy to go ahead and issue those road tests as usual. Some people need a little bit more time and practice, and I think parents are in a great position to recognize that with the amount of time that they're spending in that car. But we are finding that the training is effective, and the graduated driver license and the restrictions that are included with that have been significant for Wisconsin. That went into effect in the year 2000, and it has decreased crash rates for teens about 60%. So by eliminating those distractions in the car, that has made a big difference. But again, we want to work with her as a partner and a parent, and if she's not comfortable waiving that on her own and accepting that liability, then we don't want her to have to do that. We'll go ahead and test.
Well, this is also a pilot program. You're collecting data here on accidents. Is that right?
Absolutely. It is a pilot program. We have a control group. We're looking at people that will have it waived versus those that don't have it waived. You know, do they have additional moving violations? Are there additional crashes? And we want to be very transparent about the data that we're collecting, and we will share that data with the legislature. So this is not a permanent change. We don't have the authority to do that, but we do have the authority for the pilot. We know many of our partners in the Midwest are already doing this. Iowa has done this for 20-plus years. Nebraska does this with the parent signing off. Indiana has something, if you've had driver's ed, that you can waive the road test. Virginia does it. So we have talked to those partners in other states, and they feel that they have a very safe program in place. And again, it is because driver's education is so important and so effective.
Cole called in from Sun Prairie, couldn't stay with us, and wants to know about online services for renewing licenses, but is misunderstanding if that only runs until the end of July. Does that incorporate changes in vision if Cole has eyeglass prescriptions updated?
If his prescription has changed, that he can still renew online. If he has a corrective lenses restriction on his license, that will carry forward. What we're really looking at are people that have a new medical issue that is not accounted for with their driver's license. We did some testing on this, and we looked at a group of people in this age group coming in for their vision test, and we found with this age group, less than 1% register a change, and so we feel very comfortable with that. But great question. If it's just a minor change in his prescription, but he already has the corrective lenses restriction on his license, he can still renew online.
Talking with Christina Boardman, the administrator for the State Division of Motor Vehicles, looking at how DMV services are adjusting during the pandemic. Let's take another call. Richard is with us from Middleton. Hi, Richard.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, I just, it's really been tough getting through. Mine expires here the end of May, and I've been trying to through email and finally got a response a couple of weeks ago. But I got my form, they showed me that I could renew mine. There's specific, it says to renew, to fill out this 301 form and send a check for $34. I've been kind of waiting to get a response, and you don't get a response back. But what I did yesterday, in fact, I filled out that form and sent a check, a certified mail to the DMV, because I didn't hear anything about it being extended, and maybe it did it now. But I guess my question is, I filled out this 301 form and sent a check for $34 to renew it. And now, so now what happens to that?
What happens next, Christina?
Well, you currently cannot renew by mail, so I'll have to look into that issue. But we will work with you on that. Your license, because we will make sure that it's extended through the end of July. We want to give some time post the safer at home order. So we will work with you to make sure that's taken care of.
Richard, thank you. Let's go to Rose now in River Falls. Hi, Rose. What is your question?
Yes, good morning. My daughter has completed the online portion of the driver's ed test, and she's going to turn 18 in 2 weeks. So how do I proceed to get her permit? Do I just wait till she turns 18 and then apply for it?
So she has her permit now, or she does not have her permit?
No, she does not have her permit, but she has completed the online portion. She's going to turn 18 on May 20th.
Okay. To get the permit, she needs to come into one of our offices, and she can do that beginning on Monday to take the knowledge test, and then she will get the permit, and then she needs to hold that for at least 7 days and then take the road test with us.
Okay. But because she is not 18, so we have to wait until she's 18 to take the test?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Once you're 18, you do not have to take driver's ed. So if she's not planning to take a full driver's ed class and the behind the wheel, then she should wait until she's 18.
Okay, sounds good. And my second question is, my son wants to buy a car, but the seller has lost his registration form, title form. And he submitted a request for a renewal several months ago, probably mid-February, and has not heard anything back. When would we anticipate that he could get it back?
So this is for a lost title. Is that right, Rose?
Correct, a lost title.
Yeah, Christina?
So you purchased your vehicle at the dealership, and then you worked with the dealership for them to submit the paperwork on your behalf?
No, this is a private dealer.
Okay. Are still processing all those title applications, so assuming it was all mailed in here, we're opening that. We are processing all of that in the order that it's been received, and so you should be getting that shortly.
Rose, thank you for those questions. Christina, you know, the DMV employs hundreds of staffers, over 700. How many of your staff can continue to work from home or work remotely?
Well, all of our communication centers, so people that are answering the phone, answering emails, we have many people that are doing processing on our online systems, so they are all working from home. And so about half of our workforce is able to do that. We do have people working here in Madison at Hill Farms, making sure all of the mail is collected and it's scanned and it's made available for people to process. Our service center statewide, we don't really have that luxury of being able to work from home. And so we have been making work available in our offices, again, employing social distancing for the people that are able to remain with us during this period of time.
Christina, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
You too. Christina Boardman, Administrator for the State Division of Motor Vehicles. Just ahead, we get an update on the 7th Congressional District election. Central and Northern Wisconsin voters head back to the polls Tuesday to decide a seat that's been vacant since former Congressman Sean Duffy resigned in September. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.